Welcome to the ID10T podcast number 984. If you're going to be in Brea, California at the end of February, the 22nd or 23rd, I'll be at the Brea Improv. And then March through June, various dates at the American Comedy Company in San Diego, Helium in Portland, Stand Up Live in Phoenix, Levity Live in Oxnard, Zanies in Nashville, and Wise Guys in Salt Lake City. Google that stuff. It's going to be up on the new website real soon. I promise. I keep promising. It's going to happen. I swear to you. Let's go to the corkboard, though, and talk about what you are doing out there in the ID10T community. If you have a thing that you've made or something you want to promote for yourself or someone close to you, or you don't even have to know the person. You know how it works. Just send it to events at ID10T.com. The first one is Shanna, who writes, I lost my closest friend, Erica, to mental illness in early January of this year. Unfortunately, she left behind two beautiful children, one of whom is Jacob, a very loving boy who has special needs. Jacob is nonverbal and autistic. He requires a variety of therapies and specialized treatments. Unfortunately, insurance doesn't cover everything he needs right now, not to mention that as he grows older, he'll need additional support to get the long-term care that he will need. Erica's friends and family have started a GoFundMe to create a trust for Jacob's care. If anyone would like to help Jacob, you can find out more at the link that was sent is tiny.cc/forjacob, F-O-R, and then J-A-K-O-B, tiny.cc/forjacob. Losing Erica has been very difficult for all of us. Please help make a very bad situation a tiny bit better by helping Jacob get the support he needs to thrive now as he grows older. I'm really sorry to hear that, Shanna, and thank you for sharing, and I hope that this is able to amplify that signal and help out you and Jacob as well. Also, Dom writes, I wanted to share my brother's YouTube show, We Can't Cook, a weekly show where two people with zero cooking or baking experience attempt to create famous dishes without recipes. I mean, how could that go wrong? My brother, Matthew Provenzano, and co-star Andrew Vanore, I'm going to say Vanore, but it could be Vanore, have worked super hard on this over the past 6 months, and all of season one is on YouTube for your viewing enjoyment. So go watch We Can't Cook on YouTube. Thank you so much, Dom. This episode is Danica McKellar, who is a very, very, very legitimately close friend of mine, and she's the best. Danica, first of all, let's just talk about changing young lives through math, and then also transitively the parents' lives too, who maybe didn't want to have to figure out how to teach math to their kids or help them out with their math homework. She has a ton of math books available for children of all ages. If you go to mckellarmath.com, MKELLARMath.com, mckellarmath.com. Her latest book is called Do Not Open This Math Book, and it is available now on Amazon and anywhere books are sold. Support this. Support what she is doing. She is a math genius, and she is going to help you and your kids out. And if you're a fan of the Hallmark movies, she just had a new one over the holidays, Christmas at Grand Valley. So I don't know if that's still available. You should watch it. I just support everything she does. I just think the world of her. So thank you to Danica for hanging out and catching up and then letting us record it. Stick around. There is a very special... a thing at the end, I had been calling it ending word salad, and then I got a message on Reddit from Reddit user Colt Smith with a Y, who just wrote three words, word salad wrap, WRAP, works on a lot of levels. So I think maybe it could be word salad wrap, not to be confused with word salad wrap, just RAP, which would have been in a bad 80s movie. Someone would have rapped about salad. And words. And maybe I can justify through nostalgia doing that at some point, but not today. So stick around for, I guess, the newly named word salad wrap or just salad wrap. I don't know. I really should figure this out before making you sit through me figuring it out. So here's the ID10T podcast, number 984, with the wonderful, stupendous, and brilliant Danica McKellar.
Initiating ID10T protocol.
I mean, Danica McKellar, you're a pillar of productivity, because you were just saying about how you Uber around the city because you just work in the back of the car while you're driving around. How do you do that without getting horribly motion sick?
I don't get car sick. Thank goodness. I'm just going to knock on this wood right now. I just, it's so true. I take it for granted. But I'm working on two books right now, and one of them needs all these approval notes and for some sketches on the book that comes out this year, which they don't like me revealing the titles. I'm not sure why. It's a little kid math book. So it's really sweet. And, you know, whatever.
That's so funny.
The 3-year-olds are going to tell each other in room
yeah,
surprise,
exactly.
I guess. I
exactly.
Know. So, but it was, it's fun, and I need to squeeze it all in because I'm a very involved mom too. I homeschool my son. I share custody with his dad, and so 50% of the time I have him, and we have so much fun, and we do all sorts of things that aren't like quote productive. And then one of the days I don't have him, that's it. I'm a productivity machine. I just get it all done.
Well, you're productive. Teaching your son how to be productive.
Of course. Yes. I homeschool him, and so we're going on field trips, and we're doing math lessons, which is – okay. So I've been writing math books for like 12 years now, and my first book was called Math Doesn't Suck. It's for ages 9 to 11.
I remember this because it's been, I don't know, maybe 6 years since you were on the podcast, although we talk – pretty regularly.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's,
personally.
I feel dumb that you've not been on. Like, there's no excuse that it's been this long since you've been on, but I sort of feel like, well, we talk all the time. We just don't record those conversations.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's true. Well, we could. We could just go to lunch and just record.
Just go to lunch and record every conversation.
But that'd be a little weird.
That'd be strange.
It's good to have some stuff that's just your own, right?
That's just for friends.
I'm just going to say that out loud, folks, whether I believe
it or not.
Oh, my
God. That's
right?
Crazy. In our social media obsessed world, you mean there's stuff that can just exist in the world?
Right.
Without being broadcast in any way?
Right.
So
Math Doesn't Suck was my first book, and it's ages 9 to 11, and my son's 8, but of course he's a little advanced in math because of me.
Of course.
And we're using that book now. So I'm teaching him out of my first book, and it's so cool. It's just like so crazy and fun. And he has, of course, no perspective that most moms don't have their own math books that they're teaching their kids math in.
Of course.
But it's just so great. And we have a great time, and he's doing so well. We're adding and subtracting fractions. He's finding common denominators now. So we've done all that, you know, LCM stuff and everything. You're like glazing over. Why are you glazing over?
No, I'm not glazing over. I'm just thinking. My brain just went to this weird place of like, okay, so when he's like 16 or 17, is his homecoming dance like literally just coming home and dancing with someone in your living room?
You know what? There's so much stuff. First of all, he does sports. There are tons of leagues and things where you don't have to be associated with
the McKellar Mustangs.
Do
you have a name for your homeschool?
No, but that's the great thing about
the McKellar Math Quizzes.
Something about Los Angeles and a lot of cities. There's such a big homeschooling community. There's so many people who don't want to do the normal thing. It's so true, and I don't know if I think it's a widespread thing across the country, but it's a huge community here in LA. There are actually homecoming dances for homeschooling kids. We go to a place for homeschooling classes on just on Fridays. He was taking chess for a while and robotics, and now he's taking. What is he taking now? He's taking physiology and game design. But board games, like how to design board games.
Amazing.
And it's just cool. It's like almost like a community college where you get to decide, pick and choose your own courses. Because at home we're doing math and we're doing English and grammar and science experiments. We just built a circuit the other day from this kit that you can get online. Everything's online. You have all the resources at your fingertips if you want to homeschool your kids.
Doesn't it make you jealous from like when we were kids like we had to go to fucking Radio Shack or like and like
right.
buy a circuit kit and like, oh, look, this wet potato is a battery. You know, it's
right.
Like now you could just get anything you want online and you still get to – and he still gets to go to a homeschooling dance.
Although, you know what? I need to do that potato thing. See, that stuff is cool though. I like that old school stuff. I like the get down to the nuts and bolts of what's really happening. It doesn't have to be complicated or new agey and VR. It's just – here's a battery and here's some wires and you hook them up and here's a circuit and that's why the light's going on and let's make a little switch and that's we're closing the circuit and the light goes on and I just love that stuff.
I mean listen
that
I don't, that makes I'm me sure you've answered this question a million times before, but it's kind of about the decision to homeschool. And also, you know, I think it's incredible that you're so engaged with him and his development and his, you know, it's like a lot of people don't or either or can't because they, you know, they don't work from home.
No, I know.
And
it's so true. And oddly enough, my divorce has made this easier because I have that delineation. Here are the days that it's me and my kid. And here are the days that it's I'm on my own. And so it's easier for me, I think, to organize my time that way because – I know what I'm doing on these days. The days I have Draco, which are Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, and every other weekend, we're doing stuff. You know, we're going out. We're going skiing. We're having adventures. We're going to field trips. We're going to museums. We're learning math at home. You know, we're playing baseball in the backyard. We just do stuff.
Did you have to get accredited in some way to homeschool? How does that work?
No.
Like, so how does he – so how, like, what kind of a diploma does he get? Like, what's the process?
I guess I could make up a diploma. They're not really like legal documents, I don't think. I don't really know, to be honest. But what I do know is that at least in the state of California, and I think it's different state to state, you don't have to have any credentials at all. In fact, you can have a farm and have your kid working on your farm and give them no education whatsoever, and that's not illegal. So for better or worse, that is the situation we're in. When you decide to homeschool, you have to, though, you have to report it. So you report it with the state, you file an affidavit, and you can either file an affidavit as a charter school, a public charter school, or a private charter school. If you're public, that means you're taking money from the state, and then your kid has to do regular testing and everything. If you do private, which is what I opted for because I like my privacy, because they also have to give them all sorts of data. It's like a huge data mining thing.
Sure.
Then you don't take money from the state, and you're saving the state money, and they say, cool. And that's pretty much it.
I always wonder if, like, everything that we learned as kids, like, most of your adulthood is basically going back and unlearning everything you learned as a child. Not only just, like, the stuff they taught us in history or, you know, but also, just the things that we're insecure about or things that when we were a kid that, you know, if we were upset about something.
No, bullying, for example.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is huge. I remember being bullied when I was a kid. But you didn't. It wasn't like a hot topic, and there was no support for it. I mean, you went home and cried to your parents, and then they tried to make you feel better. But now there's like a whole. It's got a label.
Yeah, now we get to grow up and get bullied online.
We get to
as
gosh,
adults.
so true. No, but I mean, there's so much more social awareness, and there's so many improvements in general.
There's gonna be like some sort of an app where you could just like. Sort of like TaskRabbit, like, you know, Bully Pulpit, where you just can summon a bully to your homeschool kid. Like, well, he's got to learn, you know, how to like, how to handle bullies, how to fight back, how to not take anything personally. So just like some dipshit kid just shows up and just like shoves your kid and like, your shirt's dumb. You know, it's like, okay, well, now how are you going to deal with it?
That's hilarious. That's great. Yeah, the homeschooling app.
The homeschooling. Because I remember being horribly bullied in school, and I wouldn't wish it upon anyone else.
Right.
But it also, there were parts of it that gave me some skills and some armor and learning how to kind of, you know, but then other parts of it, you know, just horribly crushed my self-esteem. So, but
that's,
you know,
so hard to know, right? Like, especially when, in anything as a parent, how much do you want your kid to suffer through it?
A little bit of adversity is good.
Right, of course. And you're not supposed to do everything for your kid because then they grow up not knowing how to do anything for themselves. But like, there's that balance that you're constantly looking for of how much do I want my child to have to suffer this feeling of loss for whatever it is, and how much do I want to save them from it?
You know what? I think the acceptable amount of adversity is probably what I call HGTV adversity, which is just like you watch those shows and things go wrong on the home renovation shows, but it's never any. It's like it all works out in the end. You know what I mean? It's like.
But here's the thing. So he lost a little toy, a little like a hot chili pepper toy thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually you know Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah, of course.
So the pepper,
yes,
the chili
yes,
pepper
yes,
guy,
yes,
whatever
yes.
it was called.
Yeah.
So
the ones that just light the whole room.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
The best.
So he was obsessed with Plants vs. Zombies a few years back. And so he had all these toys and we were playing with them, you know, at the beach. And I'm like, look, you know, be careful because we could lose them. He's like, no, it's fine. So he goes off and buries them. And we never found the pepper. We never found the pepper toy. And he was devastated. But then after a few days, he was kind of okay about it. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to order – because you have to order the whole set.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, you know what? I think he's okay. But he always remembered that lesson of not burying a little guy in the sand. Now, on the other side of things, recently, you know Hoops and Yo-Yo? He loves like all these old school things. Hoops and Yo-Yo?
Oh.
It was a Hallmark e-cards set of characters.
No, I don't
years
know.
Ago. Oh, my God. They're hilarious. Go look up Hoops and Yo-Yo. They have the funniest, cutest little e-cards, and this is like 20 years ago now. But Draco really likes them. And there's a little character named Piddles. This little blue stuffed bear. So cute. He loves this thing. And he's like this tough, cute little kid, but he also has a really soft heart, and you can tell by how much he loves Piddles.
Mm-hmm.
So Piddles disappeared one day. And couldn't find him. And I don't know, maybe like the dog got him or something. I'm not sure. And we always talk about being responsible and putting things away and not losing stuff. But after about a month of looking, I got him another one. I ordered
it. Did you tell him you got him another one? Were you like, I found it?
No. I told him. So again, with parenting, there's no rule book. You don't know, but I just try to judge it case by case. And, you know, when you lose something where you're being irresponsible and you need to learn the lesson, or maybe you don't want to learn the lesson too harshly and give it some time, and then...
The lesson from losing the red pepper from Plants vs. Zombies is that he's got to plant more sunflowers to get more sun, and then he's just got to wait until a melon launcher pops up.
Right.
See, that's what you learn from that.
Yeah, it's so true.
That's what you learn from that.
Yeah.
And you learn that vegetables can kill zombies is the other thing that you learn.
Yeah.
I got to fucking play that game again.
You really should.
It's so great. Between that and like Angry Birds, there was like the handful of games that when the mobile game revolution really first started popping, like the telephone mobile game, those are the ones. I mean, now there's millions and millions of things, but I gave so many hours to Plants vs. Zombies or like, there was another one that was, it was another tower defense game, but those fucking tower defense games are crazy. Does he play a lot? Do you let him play a lot?
No, but you know what he's really into is Super Mario Maker.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what that is? So he's got the Wii U, and he loves making these levels. And because he's creating stuff, so usually it's 1 hour a day of video games, and that's it. Around Christmas time, 2 hours a day, because come on, it's Christmas.
Right.
And he's homeschooled, so he has to feel the difference between school and not school, right?
Sure.
But with Mario Maker, I let him have 2 hours a day because he's creating, you know, he's building something and he's testing it out. So to me, that feels like it's not just video games. Not that video games are bad, but I want him to not be looking at a screen all the time. But if he is looking at a screen, maybe he's creating something and building something and testing it out. Like, it's a very scientific kind of thing to do, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're like building and learning.
And so I kind of danced around it a little bit. What was the decision to homeschool him?
His dad and I decided that when he was in preschool, because we had him at one preschool. So first of all, in LA, like, sending your kid to the right preschool so they get into the right kindergarten. It starts then. It's ridiculous.
That's weird.
So I was already angry. Like, this is stupid. I can't believe I'm deigning to consider wasting any of my time on this. But a good friend of mine, she's like, oh my gosh. And I'm not going to name the name of the school, but I'll call the blankety blank school. There's only one more day to enroll for preschool, and I told them about Draco, and they're interested to get his application. I'm like, oh my god! And suddenly I got panicking. I'm like, okay. She's like, look, you don't have to go, but you should just apply. I'm like, all right, we applied, and then he got in, and then my ego was stroked. I'm like, oh, he got in to the blankety blank preschool. Well, this is pretty awesome. This is where everybody sends their kids to preschool. Okay, so we got in and we start going. And it's fun. It's like a mommy and me thing. I don't know why I'm paying so much money to like go with my
kid. To hang out with your kid.
Hang out with my kid for a couple hours a few days a week. But whatever. And then they have the next step up, like after a year of that, that's where you drop them off. So he's 3 years old or something at this point. Okay, so young. I never left the house until I was like five. You know, you didn't go to school of any kind until you were like five, at least. For me, I guess I'm dating myself. But anyway, he's 3 years old, and now it's the drop-off version. And, you know, and I'm already wondering I'm sucked in already. It was that easy to suck me into the whole process. And he's miserable. He hates being dropped off there. And I said, I picked him up after like the fourth day. And they're like saying, no, he loves it. You know, you leave. And he stops crying. And he starts playing. So I called my ex-husband. I'm like, Mike, go spy. I have to go to a meeting. Will you go and spy on him and see what is going on over there? And he goes back and he said, well, Draco was like sitting in a corner kind of playing with a toy by himself. He wasn't crying, but he wasn't doing. I'm like, this is horrible. What are we doing? So I picked him up from school at the end of the day. And he looked at me, panicked. And he goes, oh no! First he goes, I don't want to have to paint anymore. I'm like, okay. I'm like, what am I doing to him? And he goes, and then he like this panic look on his face, and I happen to catch him in the rearview mirror, and he goes, oh, I like it there at Blankety Blank School.
Oh, like, creepy!
I'm like, what did you say? He goes, oh, I like it there at Blankety Blank School. I'm like, did they ask you to say that? And he's like, yes. He starts crying. I'm like, that's it.
Oh, that's forget so
this.
Creepy.
So that was creepy and horrible. I'm like, okay, that's it. Forget that. Enrolled him in another preschool that was like at someone's house, super low key. This is not a place you send your kids. It's just to, you know, hang out and play. And he was so bored. I was like, well, I could teach him this. What's going on? So I started doing it, and my ex-husband was totally supportive. He was like, yeah, let's definitely do this. My ex was an amazing piano player and composer and can do anything on a computer and just visual effects and graphics and everything. Obviously, I love math. I write math books. And we just, like, you know, we got this. We got this. We both have flexible jobs. He's a composer. I'm an actress and a writer. We're home.
Right.
You know what I mean? Unless if we're doing some super intense job, in which case the other one has our kid. It works out so well.
Does he ever – is there ever anything that you land upon that he asks about where you go, I don't know this? Or do you just go,
sure.
Well, if I don't know something, I just go to the internet?
Yeah, I say, I don't know. Let's find out. I remember one time, and he was pretty young, he said, Mommy, because we were looking at a book of animals, and he really fixated upon these little baby snakes that were hatching out of eggs. And he goes, Mommy, can we see snakes hatching? I said, yeah, in about 10 seconds. We can watch snakes hatching from eggs. You want to watch this? Click, click, click. And he was obsessed with this video for a long time.
I was hoping you had a snake farm in your garage. That's where that was going.
But if he maintained his interest for long enough.
You know what's crazy is that a good friend of mine sent his kid to a blankety blanks. Not that, I don't know if it was that one, mm-hmm. but to another blankety, a blottity blah school.
Yeah.
And, you know, same thing. Real insane to get in, real competitive. And they get in. And he goes, it's fucking crazy because, like, every time they have an event, they ask us to donate money.
Oh,
and it's already really expensive.
I didn't even bring up that part. And they make you work.
And they
you
and,
have to do
and
labor.
They guilt you. It's a scam because they basically use your kids as leverage. So they're like, you know, I mean, if you care about your kid's future, you'll donate, more money.
Yeah, and then they have a renovated kitchen. And you're like, wow, that's nice. I'm not kidding.
Should the principal be driving a Maserati? I feel weird about this.
Yes.
I don't understand what the fuck, you know.
It was super expensive. You had to go to this gala every year. It was really expensive. You had to buy raffle tickets on top of the gala tickets that you bought. And then you had to, like, work for the school.
They kind of have you over a barrel kid because you're going to want the best
course.
Thing for your kid.
And then I realized the best thing for my kid is me and his dad and all the sports and activities and martial arts and stuff we have him involved in. And then these extra classes with other homeschooled kids. He has a rich, interesting life. When we go skiing, we go on a Tuesday and a Wednesday and there's no one on the slopes.
Yeah.
Like, so many good things about it. I highly recommend it. But, look. I realize that I write math books, and so for me, I know a lot of parents are afraid of the math thing, and for me, I've got that part covered, but I still highly recommend it. And I realized if Draco wants to learn Japanese or something, which he's talked about a little bit, we're learning Spanish, by the way, right now, the two of us together. It's very fun.
Muy bueno.
And so I'll hire him a Japanese tutor. I'm already going to be saving so much money.
Oh, yeah. Of course he will.
And
that's
everybody
right.
puts their kids in tutoring after school anyway, because this public school and
Or you could use Duolingo. You could use
Duolingo?
Rosetta Stone.
Yes, we use that too.
I use both for Italian, and I've been dicking around a little
really?
Bit. With I use Duolingo for Italian and Rosetta because they both are
they're both different. Yeah.
And Duolingo occasionally will throw graphic stuff at you, but Rosetta is very picture oriented.
Okay.
And so they just both have slightly different a couple times a month I actually have a conversational tutor come in because you can learn all you can from an app.
Right.
But then when someone starts talking to you and your brain has to improvise, it's a whole different muscle.
Right.
A whole different
sure.
muscle.
Well, yeah. And there are also I guess like cartoons or shows you can watch because I've been looking into it where like Easy Spanish. There'll be some show that's like maybe for preschoolers or whatever, in Spanish. And you can watch that and start to
Or there's podcasts. Like there's literally no reason if you want to learn anything
right.
that you cannot learn. But I was screwing around a little bit with Japanese on Duolingo.
Really?
And it just – because I thought like if I was going to learn two languages at the same time – a romance language and an Asian language.
Mm-hmm.
They're so different that there's no way to confuse them.
Right.
But, Japanese is – you're learning several alphabets and it's daunting. I want to learn it so bad, but I also – it's like, okay.
Do you need to be able to read it or do you want to just be able to speak Japanese? Like, how?
I mean, I feel like I should learn to read – I feel like I should learn at least some rudimentary to understand the character system.
Yeah.
To understand the different character sets.
I dated a Japanese guy a long time ago and I learned a little bit of Japanese.
I love it. We went to Japan for our honeymoon and I love the language so much because it – it's very, it makes sense to me. You know, like, really? Our language is so colloquial, mm-hmm. and Japanese does not seem to be very colloquial at all. It just, it has a distinct set of rules, and it follows them.
That somehow makes sense.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
It feels like the culture would do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so, you know, very, if there's a question,
it'd be more mathematical somehow.
Yes.
Right?
There's a phrase that you put if a thing is a question, and the subject goes here, and this is the verb, and this is this, and this taxonomy is. Like, it really makes sense. So it's really just kind of about learning the vocabulary. And I love it. I really love it. And it's also you don't really speak Japanese with a lot of intonation.
Mm-hmm.
I think really much of an intonation at all. And Italian is so much intonation.
Yeah.
And English is so much intonation.
Yes.
And there's cultural intonation. And there's dialect. And there's it's. I mean, English is not a Roman. English is a Germanic language, but
right. Well, it's half and half, isn't it?
It's a Germanic
Romans,
language.
Half Germanic?
It's really English is a Germanic language that has about 54% of its roots in Latin.
Okay,
which is a Romance language.
Got it.
So, I would think English is probably the hardest language to learn because there's so many dialects and we make up rules constantly. And,
yeah,
you know,
so
because
true.
We're American, you know, like we all kind of have our own version of language and we invent colloquialisms and there's slang and, you know, and it just, it's like, how
and
do you.
And spelling. I mean, like we're learning Spanish. There's only one way to pronounce each vowel in Spanish, which is incredible because we have so many different pronunciations for any number. We've got diphthongs. We've got all sorts of crazy vowel stuff going on. And you can't tell from looking at a word how to pronounce it. You know,
I honestly,
cough, though,
I know this sounds
vowel,
dumb, but I took Latin for 4 years in high school and it is – it's technically a dead language, but it also – its life is in the fact that, again, so much of our root system is based in Latin and – once you understand Latin, not only can you learn, you know, the other four Romance languages pretty easily,
mm-hmm.
or at least easier, but it really teaches you – like you learn English, but you don't really – you just don't really learn why we learn and say things. And so learning, you know, a foundational language like Latin sort of teaches you like the subjunctive case, you know, like what is subjunctive and what's imperfect and what's pluperfect.
But
and
that
–
I mean,
perfect.
I learned that in French.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I learned that for taking French. Same thing, all the different conjugations and realizing. And I remember my French teacher telling me that French is difficult to learn, but it's always the same level of difficulty, whereas English is very easy in the very beginning, and then it gets super hard. Like tomorrow I will have had 3 days of shopping.
French
you know?
To me is just all about the pronunciation.
Okay, the difficult thing about French is that you hardly pronounce any of the letters you're looking at. Oiseau is how you say bird. That's O-I-S-E-A-U-X.
And oh, wow.
Oiseau. Like
a lot of extra letters there.
A lot of extra letters that don't look like the way they sound.
Steve Martin has an old bit in his stand-up about French where he's just like, it's, you know, someone's trying to speak French like, What happened? He spoke French.
Right.
Help him.
I will never forget. My French teacher had a sore throat one day. She could not talk.
Oh,
she was,
yeah,
like, squeaking because everything comes from the back of the throat.
It's real throaty. It's a cool language. It's a beautiful language.
Gorgeous.
Learning another language teaches you so much about
your
own
language. It's like you cannot understand the meaning of lightness without dark, whatever. Like, you need the opposite. You need the comparison.
I feel dumb for not learning
Spanish. Wait, there's a way better quote. The quote is, a blind person will never know the meaning of darkness.
Right.
Okay.
But I feel dumb for not learning Spanish and living in Los Angeles,
me too,
where Spanish would be very – I would love
– useful,
to,
yes.
Yes, I would love to be able to speak Spanish, and I love the language. But for some reason, you know, my mom's family is Italian, and I took Italian in college, and it – you know, like Spanish would be so much more useful.
Right.
But I guess just because of my ancestry, like Italian –
No, you feel like a little
– I feel a pull
like you need to
learn Italian.
Well, it's very similar to Spanish, so –
It is similar.
So I learned French in school. Draco's dad is Italian and knows a little Italian, and his parents speak Italian. His parents actually have dual citizenship in Italy now. They like petitioned for it and they got it. So he was pushing for Draco to learn Italian. I was thinking it should be French, and then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to teach him Spanish. Nobody can stop me.
I'm the headmaster of my own school.
Well, you know, when he's with me, on the days he's with me, he's going to learn Spanish, and you can let's just.
Do you have like the big alphabet letters all across the walls of your house?
We used to.
Oh, you did.
But I do have the multiplication chart up and fractions up. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's fantastic.
When he was like 2 and 3, we had the alphabet up. Oh, it's so fun. But see, I always liked school. So I like having like – but that probably was why. Okay, speaking of me writing math books, I brought you my latest one.
What?
I'm going to show it to you. And this book is
– well, it says do not open this math book. So I know. am I supposed to
– if you dare. No, it's, yeah.
I'm breaking the rules.
You're breaking the rules. It's for 6 to 8 year olds. And if you've ever been around a 6 to 8 year old or remember being a 6 to 8 year old, you like to do stuff you're told not to do. So that's why it's called Do Not Open This Math Book. And it's super fun. Mr. Mouse in there is a great little character. Mr. Mouse is afraid of math. He's the one telling you not to open the book. And there's, yeah, there are comic strips, there's cartoons.
It's, why is Mr. Mouse got to be a dick about it?
Yeah.
Were you not set schooled working on Wonder Years?
Both. I actually went to Harvard Westlake.
Oh, you did? Yeah. That's
a
great school.
And went back and forth and back and forth. Yeah, no, but I, you know, I've been an entertainer and actress my whole life. I love entertainment. I love math. I love making math entertaining, as you know. And so this is the latest. This is teaching addition and subtraction. And earlier in the podcast, we were talking about how education is different now. One of the ways in which it's different is this Common Core math. I don't know if you've heard about it, but they do everything. It's all the words.
I've heard it's very
different.
Confusing. It's confusing if you learn the math that we learned.
It's, yeah. So I actually have a thing in the back of this book called The New Math Translation Guide for Grownups, because I've had so many parents tell me that they don't understand their six-year-old's math homework. They're like, how is this possible? I was worried about middle school, but here I am, and my six- and seven-year-old are coming home, and I don't even understand the vocabulary.
Do you know the Tom Lehrer song, New Math?
Yes.
It's from the 60s.
But that was the old new math.
That was the old new right. math. It's a phenomenal. I mean, he's brilliant and it's really funny. And so there's a new math, though.
There's a new math, and it's a similar idea is that they want kids to understand how things work more than just what the algorithm is. Yeah. So it's not just about memorizing versus understanding. It's about breaking stuff down and looking at the nuts and bolts of it and understanding that, like, for example, we say caring, right? If you're adding a couple digit numbers
right,
and
you're
caring,
right.
Right. We're not, I mean, you're regrouping. Technically, you're taking the ones and adding them to the tens column or whatever, and that's, you know, that's, you're regrouping them. So it's a little more intuitive. Kind of. I mean, here's the thing.
I don't know if we need to change that.
We don't. Right.
I don't know if we need to change that at all.
Come on. You're not going to get it back, right?
Yeah. Regrouping.
Look, everyone is resistant to change, as am I. And I do believe, in my own humble opinion, that Common Core has gone a little far. I think it's a little much. I think it's a real burden on teachers because it's so different so suddenly. But you know, and parents too, because they want to be able to help their kids.
Is this some hot button topic that we stumbled upon
But that's why I wrote this book. Do Not Open This Math Book. It's for kids and parents and teachers. And I get the best tweet. Somebody just tweeted me the other day saying that their uncle tutors a seven-year-old, and suddenly he's like turned this corner because of this book. So that just makes me feel really good. And you know, and when I was writing this book, I'm testing out all the little fun things on Draco, and I've got my little test subject.
The most important question I think people listening need to know is your son a Slytherin?
You know, it's so funny. Okay, so Draco was named after the constellation. Draco, which means dragon.
Yes. Latin. That's Latin.
And
Draco Draconis.
That's true. And Mike, his dad, had the name Draco before Harry Potter came out. So when Mike and I were first dating, he said, hey, so, you know, just thinking if I ever had a son, I'd like to name him Draco. And I'm thinking, we've been like on 3 dates. Who's this guy? But, I mean, this is. And then shortly afterwards, Harry Potter came out, and it became
You're
this
gonna
thing.
Say, and shortly after, I got pregnant, and I was like, okay.
No, it was like 8 years later when I got. So, and then at some point, I was like, okay, Draco's the bad guy in Harry Potter. We can't name, if we have a boy, we can't name him Draco. And he's like, no. It's a passing phase. It's not going to, like, no one's going to know the name Draco by the time he's born. Or by the time he's old enough. And of course, he is a huge Harry Potter fan himself.
It's a cool ass name.
But it is cool. And you know what else? He identified with Darth Vader as a small child. So I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah, he's definitely a
Draco
Slytherin.
He always wanted to play Darth Vader. He didn't want to be Luke. So
there you go.
And the first song he learned to play on the piano was the Imperial March.
You were basically training your child to be an evil genius.
I think maybe I am. He's going to give him all the tools he needs to be the best evil genius he can be. Because that's my job as his mom.
As long as he is grouping instead of borrowing.
Exactly, exactly.
You be the best evil genius villain that you possibly can.
Do you remember that movie Parenthood?
Of course. It's one of the best movies.
I love that movie.
Movies.
Steve Martin, when he's in his nightmare dream, when his son's up there and he's shooting everyone, he's like, he's at the top of the clock tower and he's shooting down people. This is before this was happening in the country all the time.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Nice shot, kid." He goes, "It's important to be encouraging as a parent."
Yes, I remember that. Yeah. Because so he's having these horrible he's having these really horrible anxieties about, like...
Because his 9-year-old is, like, stressed
his
out.
His 9-year-old's having emotional problems. He had emotional problems.
Yes.
They're doing everything they can, and I'm sure a lot of parents feel like, I don't know what else to do, you know?
It's right.
Like, you can't control everything as a parent, and I'm sure that's, like, the skill that you have to learn is to be able to let go, but... still support your kid, but not micromanage them. And
I swear, I think the answer truly is simple, and it's age old, and it's just love your kid.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen to your kid and love your kid. And this is working out for me. You know, when they're throwing a tantrum and everything, yeah, you can yell back. Yeah, and I've done that for sure. Or you can also be like, okay, let's sit down for a second. Tell me what's going on. And just listen.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's actually way more powerful than you think.
It
works.
When we have kids, I kind of want to just like talk to them like people. Because I feel like
because
I have a friend who has a kid, and this kid's probably like 8 or 9 years old. And this kid, for whatever reason, just loves The Wall. Loves it. He loves the show, this game show.
Oh.
That he just fucking loves it. Every time I see him, he's like, hey, man, hey, when are more episodes of The Wall? And so... You know, like, rather than say, like, oh, hey, buddy, I just go, oh, yeah, it's coming out, you know, sometime this year, and I'll tell him about it. And I'll be like, oh, you and your dad should come if we tape more. Like, you should come. And I'll kind of explain how it's, oh, yeah, it's like the ball, you know, drops down the thing, and it goes, and I like, kind of explain it to him, but not in a deferential way and not in a condescending way.
Of course.
Because when I was a kid, I didn't. Like, I could tell when adults were doing that, and it fucking pissed
me
off.
Yes,
I'm like, why are you talking like that? You know, like, I'm not a cat.
Right.
Talk to me like a person, you know? So is the key just like socializing your kids like they're people? Or is it important to kind of have a delineation of, like, you're a kid, I'm an adult, that's how this works?
Yeah, no. Okay, yes. I mean, this is a huge, big discussion.
Great.
And I can't...
We got time.
When your kid is very small, there's like this... They have, you know, the lizard part of the brain.
Mm-hmm. The amygdala? Is that the amygdala?
I don't know.
I think
I,
that, is I that
feel
the
like
lizard
I should
nugget?
Know that, but whatever it is, it's
if I'm wrong,
there's
sorry,
there's a
Internet.
Great book called the Whole Brain Child, and they talk about the like upstairs and downstairs brain, and the downstairs brain is the lizard, the lizard brain, and that's the emotional reactive part of the brain, not the part that can really reason. Until your child is 4 years old, there really is only the downstairs part of the brain.
Got it.
So you can't expect to talk to your 3-year-old like a person is probably a waste of time.
Stop eating flies, honey. That's what they do.
Right.
They're lizards until about 4. Yeah.
Right.
He's sunning himself on the rock. It'll be fine.
Right. Oh, anyway, yes. It's kids are great, but they don't have the ability to reason with you. So you can try to, like, you can pull your hair out trying to reason with them, and it just doesn't really work. But around the age of 4, then you can start talking to them like a person. And you can start saying, look, if you do this, here's the consequence. And if you do that, there's the consequence. Which choice do you want to make? And a big, like, buzz phrase for parents is, let's make a different choice, honey. For some reason, I find that's hilarious. But it's true, and it does work. And it's a very non-confrontational, non-judgmental way to show the kid that they have power. And I used to talk about this to my son all the time, and I still do. So, Draco, you have power right now. You can choose right now. When this person talks to you, you can either blow them off, and you can choose, and that choice will make them feel upset. Or you can choose to look them in the eye and say thank you, whatever it was, and you will make that person's day. That's how much charm you have and how much power you have. And likewise, right now you have the power to get a few more minutes of video game time if you're super polite and you've finished your breakfast or whatever it is. I'm going to give you 5 extra. Or you can lose 10 minutes if you mess around. Like, this is your choice. This is the power that you have. Sort of phrase it in the way of empowering them.
To be empathetic? To learn empathy?
Well, and just to like – well, there's that. But whatever the lesson is, whether it's for their own selfish desires for having more video game time, because that's a great bartering tool.
Yeah.
It's so great when you have something you can barter with. Oh, my gosh.
I know. My mom
amazing.
Used to use that for me too.
Oh,
no video games if you don't do this or that.
But it's great. And I don't know if it's a cheat or not. It's a cheat code.
It's a cheat code.
code, but it's great. And then or for something that's more, you know, meaningful, like, hey, this is a person that this is your great aunt, and she thinks that the sun rises with you. So why don't you take a moment and like really explain to him. Do you know that right now you can make her feel so good in her heart right now just by going up to her and giving her a hug or giving her a high five or just saying, hi, how are you? Like, that's how you can make her feel. That's the power that you have. I still remember when – because, you know, Draco's dad and I are not together, and he was about – he was almost 2 years old when we split. But somewhere around the age of 4 is when it hit Draco that I was sad when he left. And I made some reference to it. It's like, yeah, but I can't wait to see you, but I'm going to miss you. And he goes, wait, Mommy, are you sad when I leave? And his eyes filled with tears. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, yes, but I'm okay. And it's okay to be sad sometimes. It's like – and just sort of realizing that they don't realize the impact that they have. So these are all very grown-up things, but
or
in
you're
a
teaching,
child –
yeah, but again, you could just be teaching him how to manipulate other humans as he becomes a villain.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is that has occurred to me.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's actually really funny that you say that, because that occurs to me from time to time. I still believe that he's a good person, and that with knowledge is power, and I think he's going to use the power wisely. But I talked to him about that too. So you've got power, and you can choose it to use it for good or evil. So, yeah.
He could end up
so
being...
So stay tuned 10 years from now. 10-year challenge. I'll see
you. He could end up being Ben Solo, you know, like, you don't know. Or he could be a Luke. It's so hard to tell. But I think kids, they're just inherently really opportunistic, because that's their survival.
Yes, but you know what? If you love them and you show them good values and you're a good example, I think you're going to have a great kid. Now, are you guys thinking about having kids like soon-ish? Is this why this is
– I mean, I don't know. Just
extra interesting.
I don't know, soon-ish, but yeah, I mean, at some point.
It's
sure.
Great. It's so great. I love it.
Yeah,
I just
– you know.
I mean, ask me later when he's...
I'm not too old.
When he's the... No!
Okay, good.
Besides, you're a guy. You can get away with it. You can... And you're not old anyway.
I mean, it's nice of you to say, but...
You're in your 40s. That's totally fine.
I feel...
whatever.
This old
no,
show.
You're going to love it. You know what? Honestly, I think that being... Because I was 35 when I had Draco. I think that being an older parent, like... It's funny. They called it a mature pregnancy. I was like, stop saying that! I was like, I was 34 when I got. So as soon as you turn 35, if you're pregnant when you're 35, you're considered a mature pregnancy. I was like, I was 34 when I got pregnant. I'm like, yeah, but you're gonna have them when you're 35.
Stop it.
But
you got me in a technicality.
Since you're in a mature pregnancy, this is what we're gonna have to do. I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys.
Mature? This is like, you're not 60. Like,
I know.
Yeah.
Senior citizen pregnancy. Yeah. No, but I think it's great having a kid after you've had like kind of a full life already.
Yeah.
Once you're established, you have the lessons to offer. Here's something that I think we've completely lost in this society. I think at one point when we all lived together more multi-generationally, the grandparents are the ones, I think, who raised the kids. And I should do more looking into this, but I think it's true. I think the parents are exhausted. They're having their kids. They're exhausted. The grandparents know everything. They teach them. The parents watch the grandparents raise the kids. And then when their kids had kids, they helped to raise them because they knew what they were doing, because they watched someone else do it. Mm-hmm. And now we're on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on our own. A lot of people in their 20s doing this. Once you're in your 30s and 40s, then you know stuff. You at least know something.
Right.
And I think it makes so much more sense to be a parent at this age. Even though it's not how it used to be done, I think there was a distinct advantage of having grandparents around who, by the way, the grandparents were 40. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's what you had.
I see benefits to both. Like, I see benefits with having kids young so that by the time you're in your 40s, it's out of the way. The kids are out of the house.
Yeah, but then you get to start living your life then where it's like you and I had like already had full careers.
We did. That's true.
When we were full of energy and not like, okay, well, now we're going to go back and have a full career. And kids give you energy, you know?
They do?
Yes. I mean, first they drain all of your energy and then they they give you energy. Here's like, you never realize you could do so much and feel so good on so little sleep. Put it that way.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's, you know, like I think you're a good role model for Draco because you do – I mean, anyone who – is in the business, obviously acting you can't control. It's like, you know, you do the best you can. You get parts or you don't.
Right.
You can't control that. Mm-hmm. But what you do have control over is you can write books and you can create stuff and you can inspire people and you can educate people. And and so it really is kind of the best of both worlds.
McKellarMath.com.
Yes, because you... you do that and you try to enlighten people, and then you also get to go have fun and shoot these Hallmark movies.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love it. I really love it. I love the duality. I feel so grateful to be able to write these math books, and I now have, is it eight books out, I think, on mckellarmath.com, like ages 0 to 16.
And because of the movies you do, you've celebrated a lifetime of Christmases.
Christmases and weddings, I know.
At a very young age.
I guess I'm done. Well, I have to finish raising Draco. Yeah, no, it's been really, really great. But I love acting, but I do feel like I was sort of put on this planet to help kids with math. Because I genuinely love math so much, and I genuinely love making it fun for them. And so to get to put that out in the world. Oh, okay. So Dolly Parton, I'm not sure if you know about this. She's known not just for certain things, but she's also has this wonderful organization called Imagination Library. And a lot of people don't know it. They only think of her as a performer. But she has this charity that over the last 23 years has given away books to kids, underprivileged kids, ages 0 to 5, over 100 million copies of books. So she has a program where if you're a low-income
kid. What book do you give a zero-year-old? I'm just curious.
But you read to them.
Read to them.
This is all about reading to your kids and helping them learn how to read. No, it's all about learning how to read. Yeah, no, it's War and Peace. Good luck.
He's not getting it.
No, anyway, it's just amazing what they've done. So these kids, you know, you can if you live in an area that has it, it's imaginationlibrary.com. You go to the website, you can enroll, and when your child is between the ages of 0 to 5, they will get a book every month until they turn 5, and that is to help them learn how to read. And my youngest book is called Goodnight Numbers. Yes, a play on Goodnight Moon. But it's showing numbers in the real world. So it's like, you know, 4 legs on a cat, 5 points on a star, 6 sides to a block. So it's not like a regular counting book. It actually shows math in real life. And I'm very proud of it. Imagination Library chose it for one of their 2018 books. So, 250,000 kids got sent a copy of the book.
Oh my gosh.
Like, yeah. And they do not low quality, but like a lower quality printing of it. And it's really super inexpensive. We basically don't make any money on it, but I could care less. This is why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
So, and they just renewed it for 2019.
Oh, that's
so they're
great.
Gonna do it again. So now it's going to be in 500,000 little kids' hands by the end of the year. And I mean, I just find that just so beautiful and
you've changed people's lives.
I'm changing people's lives.
I mean, that's
ones.
Very foundational. That's
it
very
really
foundational.
Is.
That's
I'm going teaching, to affect them the rest of their lives. Helping them to learn how to read and count and understand that numbers are part of their world, because to me that's super important. A lot of kids think, oh, well, math is some separate subject. Like, no, it's part of your world and it's relevant. And so teaching them from the youngest age to get that is just makes me so happy. And I just found out yesterday, they just emailed to say, hey, my publisher was so excited. She goes, 2019, they're doing it again. And I don't know
fantastic.
If they usually do that or not, but I'm just thrilled.
And in a few years, Draco will start figuring out how to sneak subliminal messages into your books. Yeah. So that he can become the unquestioned ruler of mankind.
Exactly.
In like 10 years.
Right.
In 10 to 15 years.
10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
Check in later for that.
What is he into? Like, what have you noticed that he's, like, is he into?
Well, he's into Super Mario Maker right now. He's all about Super Mario Maker. Do you know what fuse beads are?
No.
Okay, fuse beads, it's an art project. It's an arts and crafts thing. So there's a picture, a plastic plate with little nubs on it in a grid pattern. And you can take little beads and stick them on top of the nubs to make a pattern. Then once you've done with that, you put parchment paper over it and you iron it. And you've created some little toy for yourself, a two-dimensional toy. So because Super Mario Brothers, especially the original, is 8-bit, basically, we've been able to make characters that look exactly like these Super Mario Brothers characters in the original game.
Oh my God, it sounds like an updated version of Light Bright.
Yes, it is. But it's permanent because you can iron it and then you have it.
How much?
We have a huge bag full of these things we've made over the last several months. He loves it. So he loves fuse beads and he loves Super Mario Maker. And he loves martial arts and baseball and basketball. And he's just a little dynamo. He's like a little Tasmanian devil. He will run around the house. You just came from sports. Like, you play sports for an hour. And you have so much energy still. What is happening? And he'll wear his Super Mario Brothers robe. And I had this funny picture of him where he just took off the top of the robe and he just flexed his muscles like randomly. I mean, he has me like rolling on the floor.
That's really funny.
So fun.
You know, he's had to use those muscles to keep the Gryffindors down.
I know.
You know, because they pop off every once in a while.
They
do. You know, you got to keep those Gryffindors in their place. I realize that I am that I'm of a certain financial status now where there's no reason why I could not just have a light bright wall in my house.
Oh my gosh.
Just a wall.
You should. I mean, this house is just the most fun house ever. You've got everything
we
here.
We need a light bright wall.
I think you do.
Because all you really need is, like, you just need a light box, and then you need the black paper.
Right.
And just the little holes. Like, if you just had all the holes, then every so often you could just, like, whip the paper off, rip it off, put in a new piece of paper, and then just put the little pegs in again, and yes, then light it up. You could do all sorts of 8-bit art. Why am I not doing this?
You should be doing that. Go. I'm sure someone will do it for you on Etsy, right?
I need to, yeah.
There's a science museum in Winnipeg. So I shoot these movies for Hallmark in Canada, and Draco and my mom come out and visit. And so I always find, like, on the weekends, we do some cool thing. There's always a science museum somewhere. And one of them, I think it was Winnipeg, had a light bright wall. So it's been done before. It can be done again.
Yeah, I mean, there is no shortage of creative ways that you can engage people, particularly kids. You can order anything online.
Yes.
I mean, when you were growing up, did you have one of those fucked up chemistry kits? Did you ever have a chemistry kit?
I had a makeup chemistry kit, so I could, like, make my own makeup. This is called Fresh and Fancy, and it was what I wanted for. I wanted this.
Sounds
I think
like a
I was
cat litter.
Five. I know. I did. I was 5 or 6 years old, and I wanted it for Christmas so badly, so badly that every day I was like, "Mommy, Daddy, like, I want. What if I don't get Fresh and Fancy?" And they seemed so confident that I would. I was like, "But what if Santa doesn't see my letter or what?" They're like, "No, you'll get it." I'm like, "How would I know? How could I possibly know?" And then I got it, and I've never. I mean, I was like, it was a goopy mess, but I was in hog heaven.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how I had a chemistry – I feel like I talked about this with someone recently, but I had a chemistry set as a kid.
I mean, like volcanoes that erupt and stuff like that.
There was legitimate, caustic,
yeah,
deadly chemicals that came in there, and it basically was just like, good luck. You know, there was like a skull and crossbones on it, and I was like, okay, well, don't drink this.
It's like 13 and above. Here you go, 8-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, like, I burned my fingers a couple times, and, you know, I learned what not to do.
Right.
Thankfully, I didn't.
You didn't mutate or anything.
That I'm aware of.
Metahuman. Okay, speaking of that, so Young Justice is the cartoon series that I did for years. Well, I did it for 2 years back in 2010. It's all about mutants and stuff.
Yeah.
So we came back for season 3 after. How many years had it been? I mean, like 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
We were on Cartoon Network. I play Miss Martian on it, also known as Megan Morse or McGann. And we were on for 2 years on Cartoon Network, one of the highest rated series they had, but we didn't sell toys. And they canceled us. The fans went crazy. They wanted it back. Finally, Netflix picked it up, I want to say 3 years ago, and people binged it so much. The Netflix went to Warner Brothers and said, you know what, why don't we do a third season? And Warner Brothers was like, wow, this really has done well. No, it's okay. We'll keep it. Thanks. And so it's on DC streaming service. They took it away from Netflix.
That's really funny. You know, like
so, and it's dropping this month. This is it's January 4th. 10th, 4th, 11th, 18th, 25th. And then that's the first half of season 3. And the second half of season 3 drops in June. And it's really exciting to see the fan response. They actually crashed the service, the server on the first day.
Why, Draco's so lucky. His mom's a math whiz and a superhero.
Superhero, I know. Miss Martian.
God, people do forget that a lot of children's cartoons were crafted to sell toys. I mean, I remember working on a Nickelodeon show for a couple of years. And they were like, yeah, I don't think Walmart – if I remember correctly, this is – I'm pulling from memory. This was a long time ago. But if I remember correctly, I had heard some conversation about, like, well, Walmart's not going to carry the toys, so the future of the shows look good. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. These are just commercials for toys.
Yes.
Kids' cartoons are commercials for toys. It's really a toy business.
It was. But, I mean, like with a streaming service, since you pay for the streaming service, that is the business.
That's the business. Yes.
So you don't have to make toys. And Young Justice, I mean, it started off as a kind of like more for younger kids, and it's grown up with the fans. Sort of like Harry Potter, speaking of Draco.
Mm-hmm.
It's more mature now. It's not for kids. I mean, they do stuff on the streaming service that you don't really do on TV, and people's faces get blown off. And
you said that so sweet.
And
people's faces get blown off.
I mean, it's really dark stuff. They're at, like, this children's hospital, and the bad guys are stealing kids from the children's hospital, and they're like, the doctor's like, yeah, sorry, your sister didn't make it. And really, they're taking them into the labs and changing them into these metahumans, like giving them superpowers. And remember Deadpool?
Yes.
Same kind of thing. I mean, it deals with human trafficking issues, but it's really well done and creepy and cool and Ms. Martian in the first season was like this green-skinned, cute little alien who fashions herself after a cheerleader. She's a shapeshifter, so she can look however she wants. And then she's gotten more mature over the seasons, and now she's like this badass, gray-skinned alien, really more of her true form. And she's leading the team, and it's just a really well-made show. But for grown-ups.
That's fantastic.
It's really cool. Yeah, it's really great. So I'm thrilled about it. And we started recording the episodes at the beginning of 2017, and we weren't allowed to say anything about it. So I took pictures of like, hey, you know, in the recording studio, they're like, yeah, sorry, you can't post that. I'm like, okay, no posting. 2 years. 2 years it's been, and it's like to the point where I almost like we shot the 26 episodes or whatever, and I was like almost over it. I'm like, gosh, I mean, this is ever gonna come out?
It's so funny when companies do that. Like, what do they think is gonna happen if someone says, "Oh, we're doing Young Justice"? Like, what's gonna happen?
And then they announced it at Comic-Con, but they didn't want to announce my character because my character has such a different look this season with like this gray skin. Gotcha. And the whole thing. She's the leader of the team, so I wasn't allowed to say anything. So
finally,
I'm very sad.
Finally,
I can talk about it. Yes, and it's a really great show. But again, not for kids. It's not the Hallmark audience. I kind of do that caveat because I've got so many followers and fans who are either fans of the Wonder Years or Hallmark movies or my math books, and so the demographic is a little more innocent.
You do a lot of different things.
I do. Yeah, I do a lot of things. So,
I love.
It's mature. It's a mature pregnancy. It's a mature show.
More mature. Oh, so you mean 35? So 35. Yeah. 35 is so mature. I mean, it was like 100 years ago. 35 was like, well,
the end.
Maybe we're winding this down, you know, be dead by 39. But now, you know, it's like we live longer. 35 is not that old.
Totally.
We're not old.
No, we're not old. I just turned 44. But I think that 44 is the new 22.
Yep. Let's go with that.
Let's do that.
Yep. I love how. Positive.
Actually, I wouldn't be 22 if you paid me again.
Again? No,
oh,
no, no.
Oh, my God. No. 20s? No.
Well, you wouldn't want to go back and be like, and like basically regress all of your wisdom and all of something.
Right.
You know, like.
I wouldn't hit delete, delete, delete to get back there.
I mean, I would enjoy having the sort of, you know, the Wolverine healing capabilities that a 22-year-old.
True.
Like, I realized I'll never ski again the rest of my life.
What?
Because I skied a lot I lived in Denver for most of high school, and I skied a lot in high school.
Okay.
You know, we'd go to Vail or Beaver Creek or, you know, like just different places in Denver or outside of Denver. And, you know, you'd fall and you just don't think about it and you get back up. Now I realize, like, my knee gets fucked up if I just drive too long in a day. Right. You know, it's like, oh, my knee's all tight. I can't imagine just falling down and being like, well, there's 7 months of my life gone for the next 7 months. Like, you just, I miss the Wolverine healing abilities.
You know,
but
what,
not
it's
anything
so funny.
Else.
So I take Draco skiing, and I'm not far behind you age wise, but we're done skiing for the day, and my knee's do kind of bother me. You know what I do? I kneel in the snow. And so the ice of the snow, like, just, and Draco just plays, and I just kind of like hang out there for a few. I just sort of sit with
smart.
My knees. And I'm telling you, it feels so much better.
Well, for
ice
me,
ice is a miracle.
It's not so much, it's not that the knee itself is fucked up, it's just all the muscles around it.
Yeah.
So you gotta, like, you know, because everything's connected.
Pack on the snow.
I know. You could have, like, if your back is tweaking on one side, that can fuck up your knee on the other side because everything's pulling and overcompensating and stuff. So you gotta, like, all that. But I was going to say, I love that you are so positive on social media.
Oh, thank you.
And I know that we've had this conversation. I know we've had this conversation before, where it's important to you because you know that there's so much toxicity in the world, and particularly, you know, social media can be a very toxic place. And you've said, like, I want people who follow me to feel happy and supported and to feel good. And I can't tell you how important I think that is, because it's so easy to just think that the full scope of the world is just this toxic little bubble. And it's like, yes, there is that, but there's so much more. And it's so important to, you know, like, we have to make efforts to put that in the world. Then we have to make efforts to seek out and consume that and, you know, like, just sort of put that salve on our brains as well.
Yes, we live in a time where we have so much coming at us, so much information, so many perspectives. I mean, we are inundated with information and opinions, and we have to make choices. We have to be active in the choices that we make for what we are putting ourselves in front of, because that will absolutely affect our mood and our ability to be a productive human being. I just went on a 3-week social media break. I had no social media for 3 weeks, and it's a good cleanser, and it's a good reminder that I don't have to go through my Twitter feed and, like, see every single person who's complaining about politics. I mean, oh my gosh, I can't. I mean, it's just like, people yelling and screaming at each other. They're yelling and screaming in your head, and whatever you were about to do just gets, you know, sidelined and so wait a minute. Let's be positive. Let's follow the people that make us feel good about themselves, and let's be a person who, when someone follows you, you make them feel good about themselves too, and show them not just to make them feel good about themselves and what they're doing, but also to inspire them to be their best selves, because that's what I want. That's what I want to follow. And it's really something. When I was in Canada, I did a post, and I'm not going to go into the details because it's a little too private. But I did a post where I just took a picture of myself. I was like, oh, I look cute in hair and makeup right now. And I took a picture like, I wonder what that expression looks like. It's like, what should this message be? And I wrote, and I just felt inspired. And I said, you guys, you know, whatever that thing is getting you down, it's really okay to forgive. And you know, you got this. And then something happened and I posted it in the morning. That evening, something happened that was kind of big in my life. And I needed to see that post. And it was there for me. And it was stunning to me, like, how impactful it was. And there were other people, like, during the day that were writing, oh, my gosh, I really needed to hear this today. Thank you so much. And then I became that person who needed to hear it. And it was so impactful and so powerful to me. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is why I'm doing this. This is why I just spit on your microphone. I'm so excited.
I don't care. It's fine.
This is having a public forum like this and having people follow me and trust me and, you know, on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or whatever, it's an honor, and I want to do good by that, do right by that. I want to fulfill that beautiful, really responsibility I've been given, and help people to live their best lives and to feel validated. And I, you know, I'm a parent to one person, and I'm trying to do my best I can with Draco and to give him lots of reasons to believe in himself and to motivate him to seek out what he was put on this planet to do. And why? And to show him that he has tools to
build the Death Star.
To build the Death Star. To show him he has tools to change his mood, for example. You know, I do on every Monday, I do McKellar Motivational Monday, and it's a live broadcast that I do on Periscope, some people still do Periscope, which is kind of on Twitter now, and Facebook Live and Instagram Live. And it's usually some inspirational, fun thing to motivate people to be their best selves or to have a good week or whatever it is. And that is just so fun for me, too, to know that I, you know, whether I'm telling Draco, you've got choices in your life, or I'm having a discussion with all my awesome followers. Look, we have choices in our lives to how are we going to react to this? You know, our first thought that we have and some of the stuff. I mean, I don't remember when you got sober, if you did A or not. But I went to Al-Anon many moons ago because of a boyfriend at the time who was in AA. And it was so – there were so many great tools that I learned there that I've applied to my whole life. You know, whether it's one day at a time or it's knowing what we have control over, which isn't what we think it is.
Right.
It's just us. And it's only just part of us.
We don't have control over much.
We don't.
And that's really scary. That can be really scary.
But it's also liberating. Because especially in Al-Anon is all about, like, we're trying to control the people around us who are having problems, and we end up losing ourselves completely. So the idea that we try to control other people, and that's not going to work.
No.
And that applies to social media as well. It's a huge expenditure of energy and time and life force, where if we just redirect that to ourselves, Michael Jackson, the man in the mirror, you know, you want to make a change, start with yourself. And that message, right, is like so universal and important, and I think it deserves reminding.
And deserves in my life.
So true, though. It's so wise.
Wanna feel real good. Wanna make it right. I don't know if those are the words.
I think it is.
It's pretty close.
It's very close. Very close.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, this is what I try to do with my social media.
I think that's great because you get good at whatever you focus on.
Yes.
And that can be negativity. That can be positivity. And even if you're positive, it doesn't mean you have to ignore that there are bad things going on in the world. But you just can't live in that negative. You just can't live in that space.
Right. You don't want to wallow.
It just fucking poisons. It's just poison. And then you carry it. And then that obviously, you know, there's a conservation of energy.
Yes.
That energy is not created or destroyed. It's transferred. So if you are, you know, feeling, you know, and then you come home and it's like your family gets the,
yeah,
and maybe they have their own or they were feeling good and then they're like, and then they get it. And it's just like, you're caring.
Absolutely.
Like, why empower other people to put that on you and transfer their shitty back? Like,
right.
It's got to stop, you know,
right.
You got to figure out how to make it stop.
And we all have that power. We can stop and we can change the story. You know, we don't have to repeat the stories of our parents that we don't want to, or people that, you know, we get to make our own stories. And every single moment, we get to make our own story.
I mean, I think recognizing that if you could, of course, it's very hard. This is oversimplifying. But if you could control your, you know, how you react to any situation, that is, I think, as powerful as if you could control the world.
Yes.
Because if you're able to learn from something and work through something, and, you know, like I said a few podcasts ago with my friend Ryan, who was on, if the obstacle becomes the way, like if you could figure out how to do that, then that is liberating, and that's the most empowering thing in the world, because it would mean that virtually anything that happened to you, you could figure out how to navigate through. And I think that's the secret to stuff, not figuring out how to get people to, you know, to like you, or, you know, right, to do what you want, or give you this or give you that. It's like seeking validation from external reference points. It's like, how do you make that internal?
Right.
And that's what you're trying to show Draco. And so how, you know, like, what's one tool that you, you know, just for people who are listening for themselves or for their own kids, like, what's an important tool that you've learned to do that with him?
To make his own internal reference point?
Yes.
It's funny because at this age, he doesn't care what other people think yet. I haven't run into that part yet. So he's
well, it's not like people are giving him shit in school.
Right, which is not happening. It's really, for me, it's a matter of showing him the power that he has. And that's going to apply to when he's feeling like other, like when he's wanting to gain approval from someone else. Right now, the only approval he's really seeking is from me and his dad.
Right.
So I'm not going to be like, hey, my opinion doesn't matter.
Right, right, right.
I'm not quite there yet.
But you're always there to support him. So you're not.
Always there to support him. Exactly.
And teach him the ways of the Force.
The ways of the Force. The good side of the Force.
The light side of the Force.
The light side of the Force. And then whatever he does with that is up to him. but you know, it's it's about realizing the power that we actually have and the power that we don't have, that we think we have when we want to have and that we waste time trying to get that we'll never get.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's really it. That's what it comes down to. We've got power over ourselves. You know, Draco, you've got power over how you react to a situation. You don't have power over the external stuff. You have power over what you do. And at some point, that will apply to other people's opinions. You can't control their opinion of you either. You can do your thing. And if they're not digging it, then you're not meant to be interacting with them. It's all in there somewhere. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is or how life really works, but there's something to that.
It's funny that we give so much power to, especially people online, that you don't know anything about.
You know, actually, so Draco's dad says something interesting to Draco, and I don't think Draco necessarily needs it yet, but I found it really useful. He said, when somebody gives an opinion, because and Mike and I both do this, we say, look, we talk out loud about, we share our thought processes when we're dealing with something and making a decision about something, just to kind of show them what's going on. He said, Draco, when somebody gives you an opinion about something, you have to ask yourself, one, how well do you know this person? And two, do you actually value their opinion?
Yeah, do you trust them? Are they a trustworthy source?
And if those answers are no, not really, then you can completely disregard what they said.
Or I don't know this person well enough to know if I can trust their opinion.
Right.
You don't know if someone's shitting on you online.
Yeah, you can take a look and say, well, that's interesting. I'll take it in consideration, maybe.
Yeah.
But that's as far as it could ever go.
Yeah, if someone's saying something horrible to you online, you don't know if they're typing with one hand while they have a banana peel on their head with a pile of dog shit in their left hand.
That's,
like, you have no
true.
Idea.
You don't know where they are.
Who they are, what their circumstance is, what, you know, it's like, and yet somehow we give everyone this equal amount of power over us. And you know, probably a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, sometimes people poke at insecurities that we already
well,
have.
That's what I'm gonna say. It's gotta, like, they've got to be poking at something real. Otherwise, it's just ridiculous and you can laugh it off. But it's like they say, it's easier to believe the bad stuff than the good stuff. And why is that? Somebody says something really nice to you and somebody says something mean to you. What are you going to spend your day thinking about? You're right. You're going to obsess over the thing that wasn't nice because of insecurities, I guess.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what Draco's generation.
If somebody says, you have a purple head, you're like, Okay, well, that's not relevant to my life.
Purple's a very nice color.
Yeah, sure, why not? But like, whatever it is, if it's completely ridiculous and it doesn't hit a nerve at all, it's not going to have an effect on you.
You're exactly right. Yeah, I see exactly what you mean. But it'll be interesting to see.
Finally, my purple head analogy made some sense. So you're looking at me like, I'm like, oh God, this is not happening.
You're interested to see what Draco's generation does with social media.
Yeah. Or what social media even looks like at that point.
Yeah, to Gen Z until they come up with a better name.
Right.
Or whatever, when Draco takes over mankind, whatever he names us. right. Would it be. But will they be as obsessed with social media? Will that always be a thing of humanity? Or is that just a sliver of, you know, Gen Xers and millennials?
But is that like people saying, are people going to be obsessed with talking on the telephone once it hit? Well, you're never going to like turn back from it. It becomes a tool, part of every life. But then there's other stuff too. Are people going to become obsessed with texting? We can do much more than texting now. We can do FaceTime or whatever. But like, we still do that.
Right.
I mean, that's my feeling. Is that social media is not going to go away. It's going to evolve.
It'll evolve.
And it'll still be a big part of people's lives because that's just – it connects people. I think anything that connects people is going to keep going, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine. Although, as much as it connects everyone, I also feel it's very isolating. But it's very isolating because of the way that we interface with it. You know, machines force us to interface like machines. We're hunched over. You know, like, they force us to...
I'm constantly telling Draco better posture. I'm like, bring your shoulder blades together. Bring your shoulder blades together.
Oh, my God, yeah. I had to start correcting my posture, like, 10 years ago. And it's still not great. Posture, very important.
Okay, there's something that popped up on my phone 2 days ago.
You feel better when your posture's better.
And it said, it was like a posture thing you put in your back. I'm like, my phone's listening to me again. Like, that happens, right?
Oh, fuck,
it's this thing you go in the back of your, and you put it in your back, and then it's supposed to, like, I guess it beeps if you hunch over, and that's my guess, because it says guaranteed to give you better posture.
Yeah, the next time you're going to open your phone, it's going to give you, like, you're going to be, like, buying purple heads.
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck? Or it's going to start selling your own
unnerving.
Books.
It's a little unnerving. Oh, it already does.
Yeah, but even...
It just always says, math education, for you. I'm like, uh-huh.
I think I got this one.
But here's the thing. Like, I also noticed, I bought something, a Christmas present for my husband on Neiman Marcus. And I get ads for Neiman Marcus for the same shirt that I got him all the time. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I already bought this.
I bought this already. And I'm thinking, you know, can I control, like, the ads that come up? I mean, if I were this certain kind of person, I would, like, just pretend to buy, you know, a male swimsuit, right? And then just, like, see, like, hot guys all the time.
I mean, that would be a sneaky way to do it.
I was just thinking, like, this is ridiculous how obnoxious these ads are. I want to control what the ads actually are. That's something kind of pleasant to look at. Maybe I should look up like a dream vacation, you know, Hawaii or something, and just have nice images because it bombards you.
Yeah, you got to game the system a little
bit. Can we?
You got to game the system a little bit, and sometimes you got to buy things on Amazon that you don't want just so you get better results, suggestions and results on things.
Ooh, good.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like it. You know, you go to the grocery store and you come home and some asshole doesn't knock on your door 5 hours later like, hey, you want another head of lettuce? Like, I already fucking bought this.
I know.
Leave me alone. Hey, you sure you don't want lettuce? Stop it!
Right.
I bought it. I don't need lettuce all the time.
But we got a coupon code for you.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. That's a little late now.
I feel like I'm in a bad relationship with Google Ads. Like, stop bringing me stuff. I don't need this.
Bringing up the past. Come on.
Just bring me things I want when I want them. Not all the time. Gosh. Come on. So what's coming up next? You're working on a book now that you can't say what the title
is. Right, because it'll ruin it for toddlers everywhere.
But at least you're, all those toddler message boards.
Yeah.
The toddler subreddit would explode.
Totally. So my latest book is Do Not Open This Math Book. That's for 6 to 8-year-olds. That came out a few months ago. I've got this new mystery book coming out in, I think, November that I'm just working on. And I'll be continuing to work on it.
A mystery book?
Well, no. It's... Well,
I thought you said a mystery book.
Although I am working on a mystery series that isn't a mystery for Hallmark movies and mysteries.
Oh, my gosh.
But that probably doesn't come out until 2020, so it just seems a little premature to talk about it. But it's called The Matchmaker Mysteries, and it's going to be like a series of these movies that are mysteries.
Oh, I love it.
And I play a matchmaker. It's loosely based on Millionaire Matchmaker. She is an executive producer on it. We're still figuring out what my character's name is going to be. It's not going to be Patty. Her name is Patty Stanger. But I'm going to be this – it's going to be so much fun. I'll be solving murder mysteries. And the first episode will likely be that I've made this match and then she is killed. And the guy is the prime suspect. I'm like, no, I know this guy. I did all my research. He's not the killer. And so I get involved.
Romance, she wrote.
Exactly, exactly. So then it's that, at that point, that's actually a good episode name. I'm going to pitch that.
Please. I would be honored.
So then it goes on, and she becomes known for being good at solving mysteries, and then maybe potentially her dad's going to be a retired cop, and so she gets involved with a cop, kind of maybe in a moonlighting kind of way.
I'm almost bummed you told me this now, because I'm going to tell Lydia about it. She's going to be like, fuck, I want to watch that. We can't watch that
for like a year,
yeah. A year and a half.
Right, I know. I
love how you've just carved out all these really great paths for yourself, and I think you're a phenomenal role model and such a great human being.
Thank you.
Draco's lucky to have you, and I really hope that because of our friendship, when he builds a Death Star,
yeah, he will be on the good. I'll be protected.
Yeah, exactly. Just put in a good word for me.
I will.
You know what?
I should bring him over here and have him see the TARDIS, because you've got like kind of a TARDIS situation.
Yeah. Every TARDIS situation.
He loves the TARDIS.
Yeah, well, please.
I mean, he'll have me like look up the sounds, and we'll just listen to the TARDIS.
It's got a remote control that like lights up. Does the sounds and stuff.
At some point, yes.
Yeah.
Did you say your mom wanted to meet him?
My mom wanted to meet Draco?
Yeah.
My
okay,
mom,
we'll work this
mom
out.
My mom loves
and
you.
And it'll happen here.
My
Perfect.
Mom loves you, and my mom's very maternal.
I love your mom.
She'll be like, I will babysit for you. Because, you know, we don't, like,
she's dying for you to have kids.
I know.
Oh,
and I've kind of had to be like, take it down a notch.
Okay, you know what, though? I think it's time.
No, okay. I know, but there's nothing... What you don't want is, you know, when you're in a sexy moment to think, like, my mom really wants us to do that. You know, it's like you don't, you know what I mean? Like, it kind of takes you out a little bit when there's pressure from the family.
Yeah. No, you know what you do? You just don't try not to have kids. Just,
you know, my wife has good advice, like, has advice that she gives her friends where, like, we've been trying to get pregnant, and, you know, like,
like,
medically there isn't anything wrong. It's just not happening. And she's like, you just need to, like, stop stressing and just have sex with your partner. Like,
yeah,
don't
exactly
like just take all the stress away because yep. that's hurting you. So just forget about it.
Yep.
You know, and then she's
Which
and then
kind of hard.
People just get
forget about the thing.
You know, it's like people
about.
Get and then you know, like a good percentage of the time they'll just get pregnant because they're not stressed or thinking about it. So that's why we don't really like. That's why we're not.
Okay. So it'll happen when it's gonna happen.
It'll happen when it's gonna happen.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm ready whenever she is ready, you know.
Well, as I recall, when we went to dinner last, she was saying that, and you were there for this, she was saying that she's not going to tell you.
That's what I mean, because she doesn't
She's like, I'm not going to tell you. She's going to happen at some point.
Well, okay, so
Because you're like, well, I'm not quite ready yet. And you're like, oh, well, it's okay.
So this was her plan for the longest time. She was like, one day you're going to come home.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have a puppy in one hand and an announcement.
Right, yes.
And
yes.
So you're like, a puppy and then she said, "Okay, I found out that it's probably better for us to get a dog after a kid is born so that the dog doesn't get weird and competitive with the bit." So now I don't know if there's going to be a puppy and a pregnant. So I don't know. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it drives her crazy when people are like, are you, you know, if she says like, hey, I have an announcement. Like if she's working on a show, I have an announcement. People are like, are you pregnant? She was like, stop pressure. It's like, it'll happen when it's going to happen.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So.
No, totally. You guys are in that. Well, you've been married for a couple of years now. So people are
we've been married for almost 2.5 years.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's not
yeah.
crazy that we would.
No.
But, she just has some other things. Like she has some stuff she's working on this year. And then, you know, like then we'll, whatever.
It's going to be, when it happens, it's going to be perfect timing. So, I'll be there for you in case your child ends up being an evil mastermind as well. I've been there first, and I can help guide you through the process.
We really appreciate that.
Yeah. No, my pleasure.
Well, because Lydia is
living in a house like this, though. I mean, he or she is going to have
our kid's going to be a mad scientist of some sort.
A mad scientist, yes.
Lydia is a Slytherin for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
for sure. And I'm a Ravenclaw, so who knows what's going to happen? The kid could
be
evil or just be like a comedy nerd. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So the Hallmark movies and the math books.
McKellarMath.com. You can find all the books.
Great.
And there's a big slider button that I'm very proud of because you can slide the button and it'll, based on your kid's age, it'll tell you the right book.
Great.
I was obsessed with this idea when I was creating the website. I'm like, okay, and there's going to be a big slider button. And the slider button, people can click the slide on it and they can see all the books. Because it's just like when the list gets long enough, it's like, okay, already, how are you going to keep track
of
this?
You got to help people filter and sort through that stuff.
Yeah, with a big slider button.
Well, you're a brilliant dynamo, and I appreciate everything that you do for mankind and our culture and for kids and education. And, you know, we got to go to dinner. We all have to get to dinner again soon.
We will.
It was so much fun.
No, we definitely will. Yeah, it's great. And Chris, I'm glad to be here and we'll do it again.
I hope so.
Not 6 years.
And your husband was on Singled Out?
He was.
Mm-hmm.
was. My husband, when he was in college, he dabbled in acting and modeling, and his publicist or manager thought he is, and they were like, "Hey, you should go and Singled Out." And so he went on. He already had a girlfriend. He was just like doing it for publicity, I guess. So yeah, so you guys met many years ago.
Floppy-haired, 22-year-olds or whatever it was.
Yeah.
All right, thank you so much for being here, Danica McKellar.
Thank you, Chris.
The end.
You've just listened to the Danica McKellar episode of the ID10T podcast. So I thought this would be a nice special word salad wrap, a musical word salad wrap, which is we can't not end with Tom Lehrer. Genius Tom Lehrer, one of my huge influences in comedy. Tom Lehrer, brilliant writer, performer, mathematician, musician. His piano playing is unbelievable. And the man does not waste one word, one breath in any of his comedy, any of his songs, and pretty much just quit performing after the 60s, quit performing live. He did a lot of the songs in the Electric Company, like the L.Y. song, and he did some of the Grammar songs. But this song, New Math, came from an American version of a British show called That Was the Week That Was, and this was in 1964, 1965. Fairly certain David Frost hosted both editions of the show, but it was just like a weekly political satire news kind of a comedy show. And Tom wrote a ton of stuff for it. He was kind of the resident musical guy on the show. And this song, New Math, came out of that. I have it on the album The Remains of Tom Lehrer, which is a multi-disc collection of his work, which I highly recommend. And if you're just discovering Tom Lehrer right now, good for you! I envy the journey as you go down the Tom Lehrer rabbit hole because it is wonderful. So here we go. Tom Lehrer, word salad wrap, New Math.
Some of you who have small children may have perhaps been put in the embarrassing position of being unable to do your child's arithmetic homework because of the current revolution in mathematics teaching known as the New Math. So as a public service here tonight, I thought I would offer a brief lesson in the New Math. Tonight, we're going to cover subtraction. This is the first room I've worked for a while. It didn't have a blackboard, so we will have to make do with more primitive visual aids, as they say in the ed biz. Consider the following subtraction problem, which I will put up here. 342 minus 173. Now, remember how we used to do that. 3 from 2 is 9, carry the 1. And if you're under 35 or went to a private school, you say 7 from 3 is 6. But if you're over 35 and went to a public school, you say 8 from 4 is 6. And carry the 1, so we have 169. But in the new approach, as you know, the important thing is to understand what you're doing rather than to get the right answer. Here's how they do it now. You can't take 3 from 2. 2 is less than 3, so you look at the 4 in the tens place. Now that's really 4 tens, so you make it 3 tens. Regroup, and you change a 10 to 10 ones, and you add them to the 2 and get 12, and you take away 3. That's 9. Is that clear? Now instead of 4 in the tens place, you've got 3 because you added 1, that is to say 10 to the 2, but you can't take 7 from 3, so you look in the hundreds place. From the 3, you then use 1 to make 10 ones, and you know why 4 plus minus 1 plus 10 is 14 minus 1, because addition is commutative, right? And so you got 13 tens, and you take away 7, and that leaves 5. Well, 6, actually, but the idea is the important thing. Now go back to the hundreds place. You're left with 2, and you take away 1 from 2, and that leaves... Everybody get 1? Not bad for the first day. Hooray for new math, new math. It won't do you a bit of good to review math. It's so simple, so very simple, that only a child can do it. Now that actually is not the answer that I had in mind. Because the book that I got this problem out of wants you to do it in base 8. But don't panic. Base 8 is just like base 10, really. If you're missing 2 fingers. Shall we have a go at it? Hang on. You can't take three from two. Two is less than three, so you look at the four in the eighths place. Now that's really 4 8, so you make a 3 8, regroup, and you change an 8 to 8 ones, and you add to the two, and you get 1 2 base 8, which is 10 base 10, and you take away 3, that's 7. Okay? Now instead of 4 in the 8th place, you've got 3 because you added 1, that is to say 8, to the 2. But you can't take 7 from 3, so you look at the 64s. 64. How did 64 get into it? I hear you cry. Well, 64 is 8 squared, don't you see? When you ask a silly question, you get a silly answer. From the 3, you then use 1 to make 8 ones. You add those 1s to the 3, and you get 1 3 base 8, or in other words, in base 10, you have 11, and you take away 7, and 7 from 11 is 4. Now go back to the 64s. You're left with 2, and you take away 1 from 2, and that leaves... Now let's not always see the same hands. One, that's right. Whoever got one can stay after the show and clean the erasers. Hooray for new math. It won't do you a bit of good to review math. It's so simple, so very simple, that only a child can do it. Come back tomorrow night. We're gonna do fractions. You know, I've often thought I'd like to write a mathematics textbook someday because I have a title that I know will sell a million copies. I'm going to call it Tropic of Calculus. Yes.
ID10T scanning complete. Enjoy your burrito.